Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I'm Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with my colleague Mike Morial. Mike, how are things in your end of the world?
We are doing well over here, Adam. Glad to see everything's doing well at your end. Good to join you again. Another edition of Draft Class here. We have a real good show, right? The WHL, the Western Hockey League, started their 24-game season on February 26th, and four clubs opened. They dropped the puck for the first time. The Oil Kings, the Lethbridge Hurricanes, Medicine Hat Tigers, and the Red Deer Rebels. So there's no crossover travel due to the COVID-19 restrictions, but it's really nice, Adam, right, to see. You know, the queue has been operating now for about a month and a half. It's been on and off, but to have the Dub back into the mix is a real good thing.
Yes, more hockey is good hockey, but you're doing this from your home. I'm doing this from my home. The Red Deer Rebels, their home is a little different, and we're going to have Brent Sutter, the head coach from the Red Deer Rebels, and Jaden Stroop, one of the players. They're going to talk about what they're doing, and they're living at their arena, the Westerner Park Centrium. So let's bring in Brent Sutter, the coach of the Red Deer Rebels. Brent, thank you for joining us today on NHL Draft Class. How are things going?
Things are well, thank you. As good as can be expected.
That's great to hear. And you're back. You're playing games. It seems like a little bit of a sense of normalcy. But let's go back to the conversations that were held on many different levels into what, you know, a return to play would look like for the Western Hockey League and for Red Deer. At what point did it come up where let's have everybody, the players, live at the rink? How did that come about?
Well, for starters, this is obviously, like the rest of the world, it's been a long process, basically since last March. And probably the first two or three months, no one really knew exactly what was going to happen, how it was going to go or whatever. And then you get into discussions with your governments, with provincial governments here in Canada and your health ministers. And it was, you know, it was a very, fluid situation as you went along, and eventually it got to the point probably around Christmas time where we thought there's an opportunity we could get going in January, and then we had an outbreak here in Alberta, so then it got set back again. So but they got that under control, and then we got the green light to start up here last weekend. So and then the kids, there was protocols leading into the 2 weeks before when the kids reported in here for in Red Deer, for example. And I actually had the kids quarantined at home for 10 days. And even though the protocols were only for a week, I wanted done for 10 days. And then we came here and we had to go and quarantine again, four more days in a hotel here. And then they came out of there, and then there was testing and everything involved right when they got to Red Deer, and then testing when they came out of the quarantine hotel. So that was all important, because we had a situation here where a few things was, we were trying to decide whether billets or a hotel. And yet we weren't sure if the billet situation was going to totally work, because there's a lot of billets with young kids. And they were, you know, there were some billets that were kind of not sure if they wanted to bring a player in just because their kid's going to school, and on both sides, on their family side, but also on our player's side. And then we got approached by, her name is Abby Wallen. She's one of the head people here at Westerner Park, where the grounds at the rink's on, and said, have you guys ever even thought about maybe housing the kids in the suites in the rink? And it hadn't really crossed our mind. And so we did some organizationally. My son, Merrick, who's my senior vice president, he really looked hard into it and did a lot of research, and then talked to all the suite holders. And they were, by all means, just do whatever you need to do. They were awesome. And we have 31 or 32 suites here in the building. And the great thing about it is the rink was just totally renovated. Here as soon as we got locked down last March, they started in March, and they didn't get done till end of November. So the rink is like a brand new rink inside. It's beautiful. And so we approached the players, and we talk to the players about it, see what option that they might want. We told them what it would look like here, what all the protocols would look like being here, or if we're in billets or in a hotel. And the players chose to live at the rink. And so here we are. It took a lot of work to get it all together. You know, you had to get beds set up, remove furniture, set up things around the rink. I don't know how many TVs are in the facility now, about 50 some for these players, and they have rooms for Xboxes. The kids, we've been in online schooling, doing online schooling for 2 years now. So we've been at this point in time, when we first started, we were the only team that was doing it, and it's worked out really well. So that wasn't even a problem because our kids, we have a classroom set up in the media lounge. Actually, it's a big room. And the kids that are going to school, they do that from 9 to 11:30 every day. And then there's lunch served at around 11:45 through to 12:30. And then we practice at around that 1:32. And, breakfast is served at 8:15. It's 8:30 is when lights turn on in the building at 8:30. So, and the lights go off at 10. So, it's worked out well. I don't know. I guess, we're trying the best we can with what we're doing. It's been fantastic. And, like the players, they've been awesome. But we have ping pong tables, basketball hoops, other games set up on the concourse. So they're doing lots of stuff inside. But we can go outside in the parking lot. Kids played ball the other day. And being in together like that, we can do things on the outside as together, as long as we're not around anybody else.
So, I was going to ask you about the logistics of all of it, but you mentioned the kids ultimately had to make the decision, but you're in a different situation where it's not just the kids. You've got to talk to their parents, their families. When you're broaching the subject with them, what's the reaction from the moms and dads? Cause it's one thing for a 16, 17, 18 year old kid to say, "Hey, let's live at the rink." It almost sounds like a glorified ginormous hotel, but yeah. What's the reaction from the parents? I'm curious if you got any interesting questions from them.
No, it's been outstanding. And to be quiet, we just told the players, talk to their families about it and let us know, and never had one negative response back. It was, parents want their kids to get going again too. It's been a great situation. The billets helped us out enormously by supplying the kids their bedroom suites to set up in the suites. So we had all that set up. We were fortunate here because with it being locked down here, there's no one that comes on the grounds except for our office staff and the Westerner staff. And that's it. And the players live here. So it's worked out really well. A catering company actually rented the kitchen because they were with the senior facilities with the concern that they were having with people going inside the facilities. And there was a big senior facility in Red Deer that they figured would be better off if they rented the kitchen here at Westerner. So they were serving the senior facility, doing all their food and taking it to them from here. So we just piggybacked off that. And the catering company is one cooking all the meals for the kids, and it's been fantastic. We just basically give them a menu kind of what we want every night and day and lunch and breakfast, and they do it up for the kids. So it's the other night we have a big barbecue set outside the doors right down where all the kids eat, and the other night we barbecued steaks and did all that. And last Sunday the kids came out in the bus and out to my farm and out to the farm, and we had a wiener roast and barbecued, and kids went skidooing and tobogganing. And so it's been really good that way. That's the great thing about what we're doing, is that the kids can be together and things they can do. Because if they weren't doing this, it was either at the rink or in their billet's house. They can't go anywhere else in the community. So they couldn't even see each other once they left the rink. So under this format, or even in a hotel, so under this format, they're around each other a lot, but they still have their space too, because they can go to their suites, and it's one player per suite. The suites are beautiful, and the kids are loving it. They've I don't know, they've said they've slept well. I ask them every day how things are going, and I'm not getting any complaints. So it's been good so far.
I don't know, Adam. I think maybe we should take a trip to the Centurium and maybe get a steak dinner. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Sounds like a plan.
Price is right, guys.
So, Coach, basketball nets, ping pong tables have been set up on the concourse. Each suite, I know, has Wi-Fi. Yeah. Areas to socialize safely for schoolwork. Meals are catered from the kitchen area. It seems like there's been a lot of things added to gain that comfort of home feel. But yeah. What, if anything, are the biggest challenges from a coaching perspective in doing something as unusual as this?
The one thing that you got to, through this all, and it's like this in society, is the mental health, right? And that was a concern that I had with the players, if they weren't where they couldn't interact with each other once they left the rink, or being able to do things with each other and basically almost locked down, really, if they weren't here. And so that part has worked out well. But the thing that I just talked to our staff about it the other day, because obviously as you go along through this, especially early, there's things that you got to, you know, maybe change or figure out as you go on the fly. And the one thing is that every day we want the kids outside, get them outside, get them fresh air. You know, 10 days ago it was tough doing it, was minus 40, minus 50 here, but so we didn't do it then, but now it's warmed up and stuff and it's nice out. So like I said, the kids went out and threw the ball around the other day and hung out. So yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, you might think, well, geez, you're at the rink, all they're thinking is hockey, hockey, hockey. Well, yeah, the rink's in the middle, the sheet of ice is right there, right? But the facility here is a big facility, huge, wide concourse. Like I said, the suites are beautiful, and they have lots of space to themselves if they want it. We do movie nights where we'll put movie on the Jumbotron, and they'll be spaced out around the rink. There's, because we're still under protocols here, right? Like, they all have to wear a mask. We got to still social distance as much as we can. Just do the things that we need to do to make sure we're trying to keep the virus out of here. And everyone is doing everything for the right reasons, right? And we just got to make sure that we're doing our part inside to make sure we give this the best chance to succeed and be successful. And we get tested every Wednesday morning, and you have your results back by Thursday morning. So it's a PCR gold test, the same testing they're doing it at the NHL level. And so by the time we start playing games in this province, can only be played on weekends. We can only play on weekends, and you can only play home and home, two games right now. So, so there's a lot of practice time too, right? So a lot of developmental time with the players, a lot of time spent on the ice with the players. You got to be careful with the video stuff and everything like that, just because of social distancing and all that stuff, but you get through it. And so, like I said, so far, so good.
Hey, Coach, who's living in that suite that has the Brent Sutter jerseys hanging from the walls? do they get any special privileges or what?
No, it's one of the players. And I told them when they went in there, I said, just so you know, those two jerseys can be used as dartboards.
Oh, boy. Which player? Can you tell us?
I'm trying to think which one it is. It might be Keaton Sorensen.
Okay.
I forget which player it is up there in that suite. But the suites are all kind of, some of them have doors in front of them, so they're completely closed off. The brand new ones were built, I think it's 5 years ago now. The players say it's been awesome. They're big, huge suites, so the players, they say it's been awesome. No issues whatsoever. One more, and I'm going to surprise them. I'm going to blow the horn about 5 in the morning. And
nice.
Treat like the army barracks, where you got to get up and you're going to do a room check, and they got to have all their clothes folded and boots shined and get outside, go for a 15-mile run.
Old school. That's it.
So,
yeah, that's right. Well, you know, we did it 3 years ago, actually. We went to the Army base, and it's called Wainwright, Alberta, and it's about 3.5 hours from here. And we went there to train for 3 days, and we played an exhibition game. Us and Lethbridge actually went there and stayed right on the grounds at the building's there, and It was unbelievable. It was awesome. And the training these kids had to do, they had to climb, they'll climb the walls and, you know, do the field course, everything like that. It was unbelievable. So the kids, some of the kids that are still here would have gone through that a few years ago. So they'd be a little bit shocked if I did that at 5 a.m. though.
Well, that's what you know, you lose 2-3 games in a row, this is what you're going to get.
Yeah, there you go.
There's some motivation for them. So speaking of the game on the ice, and I know it's, you've only played 2 games so far, but how do you think your team has looked? You know, you had a good lead on Medicine Hat in the opener and you lost in overtime, and you lost to Medicine Hat again the next night. But, you know, how do you kind of evaluate your team through 2 games after what they've been going through for the last year?
Yeah, that's correct. Very carefully. I don't know how to phrase it to you. I mean, you know, there's the kids, it's that game shape. Like, I thought the first game was both teams were really excited to play. There was a lot of excitement in the game. Lots of jump by both teams. It was a really good game. Even though we were up in the game in the last 10 minutes, we let it get away on us. But it had a feeling of everyone was excited to get back, but it had kind of just that intensity. It was almost close to playoff hockey. And then game 2, I thought both teams looked tired. It was more of an exhibition game feel, really, to be quite honest, from my standpoint. I mean, we were down 4-0 12 minutes into the game. Our goalie was having a tough night, but I just didn't think the game was that good of a hockey. Forget about the score, it's irrelevant, but I just didn't think it was that good. And a lot of it had to do with just an emotional letdown, I think, after the first game being excited. And the fact that this is going to take, you know, a little bit to get into game condition. It's quite a bit different being in practice condition than game condition, and just not physically, but mentally too, and getting the kids in the right frame of mind, especially more so than anything, the older players, right? Because they know they only got a 24-game schedule, and they have to have their attitudes in the right place here, knowing that this isn't just going to be about them getting on the ice every shift. It's still going to be about team play. We all, you guys and myself and everybody around us, for the most part, want structure in our lives. And it's getting that back with them. And in fairness to them, and I'm talking about as far as playing the game. So it's a lot of work, but it's more of a mental thing, right, with them, just getting them all back in that mindset. Because you know what, it's been a process mentally for them all to go through everything they went through. Some of them have parents that are nurses and doctors who are on the front lines of all this going on, and have had some real tough days through it. And so you're always got the, you might say, you always have the flags up, just making sure mentally these players are all in the right place and helping them through it if there's anything that occurs.
Coach, we'd love to get your opinion on a few players that are draft eligible this year. On the list, the C-rated players here, according to NHL Central Scouting, one being Jaden Grubb, who's part of your 6-captain rotation leadership group, which I thought was fantastic. Can you tell me a little bit about Jaden to start off? I know he's got great size, can skate, good hands. He's a right-handed centerman. What you like about what he's been able to bring to the club, and why is he part of that leadership group?
Well, number one, I if they have him C-graded, it's a joke. He's quite a bit better player than that. I've been around the game a long time and have seen this guy's a stud. Big guy, 6'3", you know, 200 pounds, can skate. He's playing like a man right now. Our first 2 games, he was dominant. He was our best player. May have been the best player on the ice both nights. I know that the NHL scouts said we're allowed up to 60-some scouts in our buildings. And I know we got a lot of calls after the weekend, just very, very happy and very excited about where he can be as a pro player, because he is he's a big center iceman, fierce competitor, just awesome kid, and he's a leader. Leadership comes naturally for him. Like, this kid will be our captain on our team. I could have named him captain this year, but I just felt 17, 24 games. I had to think about the older players too. So I just thought we would go with the larger leadership group. But this guy's the real deal. And, it's tough to find players like him, big center iceman that can skate and do the things. He reminds me a lot of Mark Scheifele in Winnipeg, and even Dubois. That's the type of player he is, right? And he's a fierce competitor and very, very well respected in the room, just because the way he just prepares, focus. He wants to be an elite player. Like, this kid is not going to just be a guy. Like, he's going to be a hell of a hockey player. And I'm proud of him. The steps he took from 2 years ago, we drafted him 7th overall in the Bantam draft for a reason. And he was a dominant player in Bantam. But you know how it is. Like, he's a big guy that major junior hockey was a big, was a step for him. And he had to adjust to the pace and the speed. But I'll tell you what, he trained like he needed to train over this year. And he was dialed in and focused through it all. We had Zoom calls with the kids every week. And this kid was dialed in, and he's shown it, and he's playing that way, and he just needs to carry on.
Right-handed D, Kyle Masters. Was this a player that was turned into a forward for you, Coach, at some point? I know he's good on the power play. Where is he right now?
Well, he's a quarterback in our power play right now. What happened with Kyle last year is he came in, and here's a kid that had a lot of offensive flair in minor hockey, Bantam hockey, and it just teaches him the overall game on how to be a defenseman and how to play the right way in all three zones and moving pucks at the right time. He's a fantastic, unbelievable skater, and he's a real competitive kid. And it just teaches him how to play the right way, right? And teams are going to love this kid just simply because of that offensive flair that he has on the back end, and he can really skate and he can really move the puck. And his skating, his agility is amazing. And for a kid his age, and like you said, he's a 5'11" right now, 6 foot guy, 175 pounds. But he's running our power play in the back end this year as a 17-year-old. He's just one of those guys that I don't know how to explain him in the sense that I just don't know how to say it. He's got arrogance to him in his game, but in a respectful way, but this kid is going to do something that you could sit there and on the bench and put your hands over your eyes and say, I didn't want to see that, but 100% of the time he comes out the right way with it. Right. And so you can't take that away from him. You got to let him continue to grow his game, but just teach him as he's going along, positional play on the ice in his own zone, how to be around his net, just do the things the defenseman can do. But he reminds me of how, I don't know how the guys, like everyone around the league, but he reminds me of players like Hughes and stuff like that, right? Like just so good with the puck and so good skating. But you just got to learn other parts of the game being a defenseman.
So, Coach, I want to go back to something that you said earlier in regard to the 24-game season. You've been in the NHL now, you're back in junior now, but you know what that jump is like. And how hard is it going to be for NHL scouts to make an informed evaluation on a 24-game season? Will you talk to the scouts more so now, this year versus previous years, just to help them understand who a guy is, where he's grown, and how he projects maybe versus previous seasons?
If they want to do so. I don't normally reach out to the scouts, or you'll have the agent call, and either a lot of them will call and reach out to Sean, and then Sean will put them through to me or to my assistant coaches. I don't know if they're scared to talk to me or what, but anyway, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, the players, I always tell the players when I'm not going to bullshit a scout or anybody talks about a player, I'll be truthful and honest with about it. And it might not be something that a scout wants to hear or any of that, but, and I like to tell the players, it doesn't help anyone if I'm not being truthful on exactly what I see you now as a player and what I see you in the future as a player. And it's up to them to the scouts to determine if there's, you know, they have a different opinion on that's their decision, but I'm going to be truthful and honest. I always have been. But in a 24-game schedule, let's put it this way. The scouts are excited to get into the rink. They're excited to see whatever hockey they can see. It's better to obviously see it live than see it on, you know, on live streaming or whatever. So just as a scout, just other things that you get to see in the game that you don't get to see when you're watching on your computer or on TV, right? So it's beneficial, obviously, to have the scouts in the rink. It's going to help these players with the scouts here. But, you know, there may be more communication with the scouts. I've had some people call already that I wouldn't normally, you know, they wouldn't talk to me till after Christmas in a regular season. They're calling me after the opening weekend. So it's, you know, it's certainly different, but it is what we are in, right? This is what we're in with our life right now and in our world. And this is what it is. And the players have 24 games to play to their highest ability and that they possibly can and treat practices like games. Just throw everything they can over the next two and a half months into this like they need to do. And the scouts will determine it. And at the end of the day, how long this lasts, like we don't know what the NHL is going to do for a draft yet. No one, none of us do. Whether they are going to move it back further into the fall or around Christmas time, I'm not sure. Obviously, the more you can see of a player live, the better off it is. Just common sense, right? So you know, we're giving them an opportunity to watch players in our league play 24 games, and maybe 24 more games that other players around the world aren't being watched. So the kids got to make the most of this.
Hey, Coach, one more to just wrap it up. It's something, you know, maybe a little piece of advice for players out there. Is there something you might be able to pinpoint that every young player needs to acquire or learn to reach the next level that wasn't necessarily the case some 40 years ago when maybe you entered the NHL?
Well, it's a good question because there's a few things, right? Because the game is so different now. Than it was 30, you know, 20, 25, 15 years ago, the game is played differently. But you got to be able to skate today. You got to be able to make decisions on the ice and quickly because the game's faster in a sense, just because of the way the rules are in place than it was back 20 years ago. So you got to be smart. You got to understand the game. You got to be able to skate. You know, and you gotta be a smart, intelligent player and be able to make decisions quickly. And that's just the way the game is now. It's the way it's being played. You know, everyone wants hardworking players, right? We all know what that is, but you gotta work smart. And I guess the one thing that, because in today's generation, it's a little bit different, right? You got to be a real strong communicator more than ever. You spend a lot of time with your players one-on-one, and the players have to be good communicators too. And, you know, and I guess at the end of the day, you know, there's a little bit, and I don't want to use the word selfish because that's not right, but there's certainly, more of an entitlement in today's game than there ever has been. And it's just managing that the right way. So it's all about attitude, right? And I'm not even saying it's a negative thing. I'm just saying it's a fact. And so you got to have good attitudes. And the one thing that I will say, and you know what, you look back 100 years ago, there's certain elements in the game that were took place 100 years ago that you still have to have in today's game, right? That you got to be competitive. You got to be disciplined. You got to be dedicated. You got to compete. You got to be hardworking. But the one big thing that still, it to me is when you're done playing the game, you want to be looked at and be recognized and known as a great teammate. And that's something that's really important. And that's something I stress to our players all the time is about caring deeply for each other. Have a bond. There's going to be tiffs and everything through the year, whether it's practice stuff, but you got to be like, and I know it's kind of cliche, but like a brother, and yet you gotta be someone that wants to treat your teammates the way you want to be treated. And that's a little different today because of the entitlement thing, right? So you gotta manage that the right way. And again, that's all about attitudes, and you gotta nail it quickly. If you sense it, that's one thing as a player when I played, and even as a coach and management and stuff, you can really read a room really well. And at least I have been able to. So you get a really good sense and a feel on something. So when something pops up that needs to be addressed, don't let it fester and be a bigger problem. Nail it in the butt right away and get the kids in the right mindset. And if they're in the right frame of mind and they have any ability at this level, they all do, right? So they got a chance, and we just got to make sure that we have them on the right path, keep them on the right track, and just try to grow that and let it branch out, and just not as players, but as a human being, right? Because it's just not about everything at the rink, or it's just who you are as a person in society. And you want to be recognized again as a good person. You want to recognize someone who treats people the right way, the way you want to be treated. And those are the kind of things that we talk to our players about all the time. And because, the reality is, guys, I go down that dressing room and, you look over the percentages of over the years, there's 31 teams, 23 NHL contracts each year in the National Hockey, which is the best league in the world, that play in the NHL, right? So, it's not like every player is going to play professional hockey. It's not like every player is going to play in the NHL. There's going to be players there's a lot of players that are end up going to university, and you want them to be successful, whether it's a lawyer, doctor, or whatever it may be. So it's just making sure their foundation is strong and is solid, and then let them grow as people, and their game will grow. But it will be always good enough to play professional hockey or in the National Hockey, maybe not. But they can be very, very successful people in society, in the world, and whatever they do. And, I root for those guys as much as I root for the guys that move on and play professional hockey. Like, I want every one of our players to be successful in whatever it may be. So you got to make sure that we're doing the right things with them. And from 16 to 20 years of age, as we know ourselves, important years in our lives, and we got to make sure that we do the right thing for them.
Absolutely. Well, that's been great stuff. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to come on NHL Draft Class with us today, Brent.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks again to Brent Sutter, head coach of the Red Deer Rebels from the Western Hockey League, for joining us today on NHL Draft Class. Mike, a lot of interesting stuff there. What stood out to you?
Yeah, let's face it. Sutter believes that even though you're playing a 24-game schedule, Adam, you have to still treat it like it's a 68-game schedule almost. And with regard to making an impression for scouts, it's huge. There's going to be an NHL draft at some point. There will be players signed in professional hockey here in North America and over in Europe at some time. So the bottom line is you have one opportunity here in 24 games to show what you can do. It's going to determine to some degree, and probably a pretty high percentage degree, where you're going to fit into this draft. And it is kind of an unknown. So to come in, do the best you can in these 24 games, make sure the scouts, see your best performances every shift of every game.
Well, let's bring in Jaden Grube, Red Deer Rebels forward. He's going to have to deal with that 24-game opportunity to impress the scouts. Actually, two games down now. He's only down to 22 games to impress the scouts and show what he can do for the 2021 NHL draft. Jaden, thank you for joining us on NHL Draft Class today. How are things going?
Going pretty good here in rink life. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well, Jaden. But, you know, Adam and I want to know, what's your take on the living quarters inside the Century? You know, how are the suites set up? What's it been like there for you?
Yeah, you know, it's a pretty awesome setup, actually. Each guy's got their own kind of mini kitchen, got their bed from their billet house, and then their own, some guys have their own TV or the TV that was already in there. And then some guys got a couch or they got a table. A lot of guys brought their consoles for gaming and all that stuff, but it's been pretty awesome so far. Just thankful that we got to play, and yeah, it's worked out pretty good so far.
So coach said he kind of left it up to the players for you guys to make the decision on living at the rink this year. So when you guys talked about it, when you found out this is what you're going to be doing, that you're going to be living at the rink all year, you know, what did your family feel when you told them that this was going to be the situation? I'm sure mom and dad had some questions. You know, how did that conversation go?
Yeah. You know, when I first found out, I was kind of surprised. Didn't really think that was going to be one of the options because I haven't heard of anyone else ever doing that. So, yeah, they were pretty surprised and I guess kind of shocked about that. But they were just they were happy that it meant that we got to play. So I think that was the biggest thing. They just wanted me to play and for a team to get going. So I think they're just happy all around that everything would start up. And that was, I think, kind of the number one option after the billets kind of got kicked out there. I think we kind of got rid of that option just as a safety wise and how we can't hang out with our team if we're all at our own billet houses. So here we're all in a big group and we can stay in touch better, I think.
So obviously there's game time, there's practice time, there's video sessions, but what have you and your teammates done just to kind of handle the time when there's no game stuff, when there's no practice, the downtime? You know, is it basketball on the concourse? I heard there's ping pong tables. You mentioned video game consoles. What have you guys done to sort of handle the off hours?
Yeah, recently it's been a lot of ping pong, actually, getting a little doubles tournament going and stuff like that, but basketball a little bit, but for the most part, it's in ping pong and a bit of video games, but we just got another table brought in yesterday because the one table is getting crowded every day. So it's been pretty fun.
Nice. Like that. Two ping pong tables. Got to have it. So yeah. Your coach told us that, you know, he thinks the world of you as a player, had some great things to say about you. This being your draft year, Jaden, obviously very exciting. Describe your game. And what do you feel is maybe your most underappreciated asset?
I think just for me as a bigger guy, I think some people look at bigger guys like me as the speed's kind of the factor that kind of slows them down. But I think for me, I like to think that I have some speed. And once I get going, I can use it to my advantage. And just kind of along with that, using my hockey sense is something else. Just being kind of a physical, gritty guy that's always hitting and kind of going after guys. Some people might think that I don't really think that way, but I like to think that I have some good hockey sense when I get the puck and I know what to do when I have it.
So I want to go back to the ping pong for a minute. Who's the reigning team champion?
I think right now it would be Ethan Anders, our goalie, and then one of the rookies, Hunter Mayo. He's pretty good.
There you go. So I heard you in an interview compared yourself to Jamie Benn from the Dallas Stars. What qualities about his game do you think you have? And when you watch NHL games, what other players do you either like to watch or take things from for your own game?
Yeah, I think just watching Jamie Benn, I like to kind of see how he handles himself on the ice. He's a leader for his team, and he kind of drives the lead there for the Dallas Stars, but he's physical, brings speed, can score. He can kind of do everything. I think that's the biggest part for me is he can bring layers to his game. He can do it all, and he can lead, and he's someone that everyone on his team respects. So I think that's one of the main things. But other than him, I think watching the Calgary Flames, obviously Tkachuk is someone who I like to kind of see what he does after the whistles. He's getting in there and kind of getting in guys' grills, but he can bring skill with that as well. And then someone also like Josh Anderson this year has been pretty good to watch. And also like Sean Couturier, two-way center, bigger guy, power forward. So types of guys like that I like to watch, kind of compare myself to.
So I know some guys either went to Europe to play, or a lot of guys from the Western Hockey League went down to Junior A to play. You didn't do that. So what were you able to do since, geez, it's been a calendar year since you played a game, really. What were you able to do to stay in shape and stay in hockey shape since last season ended?
Yeah, you know, a lot of guys did go that pathway, but I was pretty hopeful that we would get going at some point. And Brent kind of ensured that we would play at some point. And he was pretty straightforward of letting our guys know whenever he found something out that we were going to play at some point. So there was no need for us to go somewhere else. So for me, I was just trying to stay on the ice as much as I could, and taking breaks when needed, once that date kept getting pushed back. But it was kind of tough once the rinks closed here in Alberta, and it was a lot of outdoor rink. And we actually ended up making a backyard rink at my house. Me and my brother and dad were on that a lot once the rinks closed. So doing that and at home workouts, Zoom workouts with my trainer, kind of everything, that stuff you don't normally do in an off season, but we kind of pushed through it, and now we're here. So it's good that it happened.
Outdoor rink. Does that have boards as well, Jaden?
Yeah.
It does.
You got the whole setup. Yeah.
Nice. Very nice. So you earned a C rating on NHL Central Scouting's players to watch list for January. Does that motivate you to work harder? What are some of the things you feel you can improve?
Yeah, I think it's nice to be noticed, but I think I can get that rating up for myself personally. That's mostly based on last year, and no one's really seen what everyone can do this year with the shortened season. But I think just for me, it's I just got to be consistent every game, and every 24 games I got to bring in work as hard as I can. So that's the biggest thing, is just bring it every day, because that 24 games is going to be tough to kind of show what I can do. But I think that's the only way to get that rating up. But that's something that does motivate me. I think I can be ranked higher up. Not something I think about, but definitely just in the back of my mind when I look at it or come across it, that there's other guys that I play against that are rated higher up. And I like to kind of get up for those games and show that I'm on that same level.
Yeah. You mentioned the 24 games. How difficult is that, you know, sort of parachuting in like this, where, you know, obviously this is the biggest year of your career. You want to impress the NHL scouts, but do you think that you're going to be able to do that starting from 0 to 60, to be able to show yourself in those 24 games and give scouts a fair accounting of the kind of player and person you are?
Yeah. You know what, for me, I think, just the style of game that I play, it's not completely about points or producing offense. I can bring other attributes. So for me, with the shortened season, I just got to play my game and work like I normally do, and be aggressive and get in there, play physical. That's just the biggest thing for me. And what Brent kind of tells me after the first two games, he was happy how I played, and kind of just said to keep doing that. And that's about all I can do with the 24 games, just work as hard as I can every shift and just bring it every game. Cause can't really take a game off this season, obviously. So,
and speaking about Coach Jaden, what do you like about Coach Sutter? The way he leads on the bench, you know, what he's been telling you off the ice, what are some of the things that you've learned about him as your coach?
Yeah, you know, Brent's an intense guy, and he'll get on guys, but he's actually someone you can go to off the ice for anything you need. But just learning from Brent, he's probably the one guy that I would want to go to talk about playing a right-handed shot centerman that played in that NHL for however many years. And he's kind of helped me develop my game into like a more of a two-way game, taking care of my own zone. And that's something that not a lot of guys learn, and I have the opportunity to learn from Brent and how to play that way. And some guys don't learn that till they're higher up and they're out of junior, but learning it now I think is key. And that's something that he kind of reinforces on me, is that a lot of guys aren't learning how to play that style of game, that two-way, taking care of their own zone. And that's something that he definitely tells me a lot. But once I'm in the ozone, it's kind of just do my thing and don't worry about it. But I like to go to him to kind of get some help for whatever it is, face-offs. He's a good guy to go to. But he's just someone who's definitely intense and he's hard on guys, but he pushes guys as well. And just matter if you can take it and kind of being mentally strong when he does.
Just so you know, he said if you guys go on a losing streak, he's going to hit the goal horn about 5 a.m. just to get you guys, just to put the pressure on you. If you don't want to hear that goal horn at 5 a.m., keep playing positive.
Yeah, I'd expect nothing less probably.
All right. Well, Jaden, thank you so much for joining us in NHL Draft Class and good luck with the rest of the season.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks again to Jaden Group from the Red Deer Rebels. And hey, I'm going to take a mattress and a lamp to Wells Fargo Center next time I go to cover a Flyers game and see if I can enjoy some of that arena life. But really fun stuff with him. And it's such an interesting thing. And it's something that, you know, no matter how the season goes, it's going to create a lot of memories that he and his teammates are going to have for a very long time.
I can't imagine the pictures they're taking, Adam, over there.
It's like, well, we all thought about it, like arena after dark. What would it be like, you know, in that quiet arena? It's like, because you make the joke, God, I've been here all day. I might as well just bring a bed and a desk and just kind of live here. They're actually doing it. It's unique and odd, but I mean, I guess we're in very unique, very odd time period right now.
Yeah, we certainly are. It's you know, for them to go through that for a 24 game schedule, to be living in an arena. And, you know, like you said, there's the old cliche, you know, he lives at the rink. He's so dedicated to hockey. But in this case, you know, all these Red Deer players are actually fulfilling that dream or fantasy, whatever you want to call it. So it is kind of interesting. It'll be, and I'm real curious to see how they come out of this. You know that they're going to be more unified than ever. But as a team, but to come out and maybe impress the scouts as well. So it'll be something to watch.
Yeah, I don't know if I call it my dream or my fantasy. We'll have that discussion off show. But there is some other news and notes in the draft world. Big one coming up here, April 7th. Circle your calendar. The BioSteel All-American game will take place at the USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, Michigan. It'll be the U.S. National Team Under 18 program against the basically USHL All-Star team. It's going to be shown live on NHL Network. All 2021 draft prospects. It's going to be, you know, as close to, you know, an all-star game as you're going to get. You're going to see some of the top U.S.-born prospects in that game for the 2021 draft, including Matthew Coronato from the Chicago Steel of the U.S. Hockey League, the famed Bison, as we had on our last NHL draft class. I don't know if we'll have the snorting from that game, as you can hear on the Chicago broadcast. Luke Hughes, the youngest of the fabulous Hughes brothers from the U.S. national team. That's going to be an outstanding show, and it's going to be a great opportunity for us as fans, for scouts to see these guys, best of the best, in that wonderful setting. You know, we've had different iterations of the All-American Prospect Game in years past. This is going to be the second time, I believe, it's going to be USNTDP versus USHL. It was a good time. It was a good show last year. We remember Jake Sanderson, the Ottawa Senators prospect, winning the MVP. You know, Brendan, he was a first-round draft pick. Brendan Brisson went to Vegas at number 29. So two first-round picks. I think 26 guys in all got drafted from that game. So, you know, it's going to be a really good opportunity for some guys to showcase themselves against their peers outside of their league, a little bit of a different opportunity for them. So, and it's going to be on NHL Network, so fans everywhere can watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you hit the nail right on the head there, Adam. You know, last year's game was outstanding. It was the first time we saw the NTTP against the USHL All-Stars. I thought it was a great event. You know, and a couple of players you mentioned there that might be playing in this game. The rosters will be coming out later this month, so we'll check them out whenever they do reveal that. But, you know, Chaz Lucius from the NTTP, one of the forwards that has been injured most of the year with a knee injury, goes about 6 foot, 172 pounds. He is high on everyone's radars for as far as this draft is concerned. And he's healthy now. He's back. From what I understand, he looks exceptionally well, playing well. He's another guy, another player that we're certainly going to watch. And Sasha Pastyshov, 6 foot, 175, also from the NTTP, is going to have that chance to showcase, you know, what he's been able to do this season for the NTTP and at this game. I think Sasha, my last, you know, looking at the stats most recently, I think he leads the NTTP and actually in points this year. So certainly looking forward to that. as far as the NTDP and the USHL All-Stars are concerned. But other notes that might be of interest, Adam, you know, this year with the Dub starting to get back into full swing now, a couple interesting notes that just popped up. Cole Sillinger, who actually plays for Medicine Hat, you know, when the Dub shut down, he went over to Sioux Falls in the United States Hockey League to kind of break off the rust and play and, you know, kind of get the gears and wheels going before the WHL season started. But he's actually going to remain in the USHL right now. And he's playing pretty good there. 14 goals, 24 points in just 15 games played. And Sillinger, of course, is the son of Mike Sillinger, real skilled offensive player, can really shoot the puck, great release. It's a heavy, heavy type shot. I hear, you know, real good hockey IQ, good at controlling and protecting the puck, excellent vision, and he's a real good playmaker. And the other guy I just want to mention, Adam, who I know you've watched on video, you know, Dylan Gunther of the Edmonton Oil Kings. This kid has been outstanding, you know, listening to with John Williams, NHL Central Scouting's, you know, WHL evaluator has been telling me real high praise for Gunther in his first few games for the Edmonton Oil Kings this year. Told me that, you know, Gunther's looked great to begin the season. Real, really highly skilled, elite offensive talent, good skater, quick and fast. He's a top line player for Edmonton, and he was the same as a 16-year-old, set club records for goals and points as a 16-year-old. So Gunther is a guy right now that, you know, we need to watch. He had 8 points in 2 games, 9 shots on goal over the weekend. So he's going to be on everyone's radar as the WHL season continues.
So I want to go back to Cole Sillinger for a second. So he's up to 2 teams. So he's 10 behind his dad. So it's good that the family, the Sillinger family tradition is continuing. Both A-rated players, Cole Sillinger, Dylan Gunther. And you know what? It's hockey. We get to watch it. And I'm glad the Dub is back. I'm glad the Q is back. Hopefully we get to see the Ontario Hockey League. And we have even more prospects to talk about on the next edition of NHL Draft Class. So, Mike, another great show. This was fun getting to find out what the arena life in Red Deer is like.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun, Adam.
Absolutely. Thank you again for listening. Thanks to Brent Sutter and Jaden Group and the Red Deer Rebels for telling us about arena life and their unique circumstances. But as for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.